السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. If I can humbly ask the brothers, unless I'm looking this way, it's easier if you're sitting in front of me, inshallah ta'ala. بارك الله فيكم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Inshallah ta'ala. I believe tonight is the second lecture in the series that is titled Ibad al-Rahman. And it's based on the ayats that are in Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions several characteristics of those who hold the honorable title of Ibad al-Rahman, meaning the servants of the Most Merciful. And if you read Surah Al-Furqan, towards the end of it, Allah mentions many aspects of these very special people. And I encourage every one of us, go back to Surah Al-Furqan, towards the end of it, even if you can get the translation, and read it, and start comparing yourself to those people and what's being mentioned about them, and see where you can improve. And the lectures this month is going to reflect certain characteristics of the Ibad al-Rahman that Allah mentions, and we're going to, inshallah ta'ala, expand upon them. Among those key qualities is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. And those who spend the night, every night, or most nights, before their Lord, prostrating and standing. So among us, among the Muslims, among the believers, are some who, while everyone is asleep or wasting their time, they are standing in prayer. They are standing in prayer. And those people are very special. They are chosen by Allah. They are favored by our Creator. They are different than everyone else. They are the Ibad al-Rahman. And what we have to ask ourselves is, if we are not among those, we are clearly deprived. And inshallah ta'ala, as I go along this lecture tonight, you will see how deprived we are if we do not stand in prayer at night. It is a time where if you miss it, if you sleep through it, if you waste your time through it, that you have lost something great. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heavily encouraged the night prayer. Before I actually start talking about the night prayer, someone may argue or ask the question, the ummah is not where it used to be. People are weak in their iman. We are struggling with the regular daily salahs. What is the point of talking about the night prayer when you are struggling with the other salawat? So Shaykh, are you not setting us up for failure? Are you not telling us about things that we cannot reach? Because we have to first focus on the five daily prayers, get that right. Then inshallah ta'ala move on to the acts of worship and the prayers that are not obligatory. But what people don't understand or may miss out on is that praying the night prayer aids you in worship. In fact, the more supplementary acts of worship that you do, the easier the obligatory acts of worship become. And as a Muslim, you have to set yourself up in a way where you don't only do the basic obligations, but you go beyond that, so that when you do have an off day, you're not having an off day as it relates to your obligations. And that's the mentality you have to have. Not to mention, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings, not to mention that on the first thing you're going to be asked about on the Day of Judgment is going to be your salah. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَّلَ مَنْ يُسْأَلُ بِهِ الْعَبْدِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing that the servant will be asked about on the Day of Judgment is the prayer. And if your prayer is not enough, if your prayer and your salah is not enough, then the question that will be asked is, does this person have any supplementary, any extra, any nawafil? And if you have enough of those, they will then fill that gap to show you the importance of the salatun nafila. the supplementary, the extra, the nafal, the sunnah prayers. So to pray at night should not be something you see as an option. It's something you should always do, because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always used to do it. And I want you to look at the beginning of Islam, when the Prophet received revelation and he has this huge mission to spread the deen of Allah to a society that rejects it, that are idol worshippers. And he had this mountain to climb, literal mountain to climb, of convincing these people and spreading Islam and the da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthened him and told him that what's going to aid him in his mission is the Qiyam al-Layl. When Allah reveals to al-Muzammil, Ya ayyuhal Muzammil, qum al-layl ila qalila, nisfahu aw inqus minhu qalila, aw zid alayhi wa rattil al-Qur'an tartila. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا إِنَّا نَاشَأَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْئًا وَأَقْوَى مُقِيلًا إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. These ayat were revealed really early into Islam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering the Prophet. And this is meant to help him in his mission, in his da'wah, in his call to Islam. Allah is telling him to make things more easier for you. Pray at night. قُمِ اللَّيْلِ. Stand at night. How much? قُمِ اللَّيْلِ, most of the night, إِلَّا قِلِّ, except for a little. نِصْفَهُ, pray half of the night. أَوْ يَنْقُسْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا, or maybe a little bit less. أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ, or perhaps even more. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا, and recite the Qur'an in a melodious and beautiful way. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want your mission, your da'wah, your affairs to get better, the way you do that is by speaking to your Lord and conversing with your Lord and praying at night. And that goes for all of us. That goes for all of us. The night is a time for worship. The night is a time for communicating with our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The night is a time where we present our problems to Allah. The night is a time where we speak to our Creator. The night is the time where we repent from our sins. Some of the Salaf, they used to be very excited when it's almost bedtime for the family and they get that time. And they used to say, this is my time to converse with the one I love the most, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want you to think about, while we are all sleeping, there are some people standing in prayer and speaking to Allah. And Allah wants to hear you. Allah wants you to present your problems and your issues to Him. And Allah wants to aid you, to support you, and to forgive you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in a hadith that every single night, the last third of the night, and I want you to really think about this, every single night, in other words, last night, the night before, and the night before, and every single night, Allah descends to the lowest heaven and speaks, and says, من يدعوني, who will call upon me? Who will call upon me so I can accept their call and their request? Who will ask me forgiveness? فأغفر الله, so that I can forgive them. هل من سائل, is there anyone with any request? فأعطيه, so I can give. I want you to think about the amount of problems and the issues that you have in your life that you would like resolved. It could be debt, it could be illness, it could be struggling with your ibadah, it could be relationships, it could be anything. On top of that, the tawbah, the sins that we carry, that have burdened us. Allah, every single night, descends and asks this question. And there are a few, selected few, that wake up at that time, make wudu, and stand in front of Allah. Praise Allah. Thank Allah. Thank Allah for all the good things in their lives. Seek His forgiveness and speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, my brothers, is what distinguishes between the true servants of Allah and the ones that are not at that level. أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةَ وَيَرْجُوا رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah mentions a comparison. Are they the same? The one who stands at night, sajidan, prostrating, put their head down in humility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing in prayer, worried about the hereafter, hoping in Allah's mercy. Are the knowledgeable equal to the ignorant? They are not. Ask yourself, which category are you in? Which category are you in? We talked about how early Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah tells him, pray at night. When the Prophet arrived in Medina, among the first speeches that he gave advice to the Sahaba. And Abdullah ibn Salam narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to his companions as they arrived in Medina, he said, Afshu salam, wa at'imu al-ta'am, wa silu al-arham, wa sallu bil-layli wa nasu niyam, tadkhul jannata bi-salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, spread peace, spread the greetings of Islam, spread peace, keep the ties of kinship, keep the ties of kinship, speak to your family, keep an eye on them, give them their rights, extended family. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ, feed the hungry, feed the hungry. And then he said, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ, pray at night while the people are sleeping. Pray at night while the people are sleeping. Why, O Prophet of Allah, should you do that? تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ, you will enter into paradise. بِسَلَامِ, peacefully. Our way to Jannah is through the night prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said another hadith, the most beloved and virtuous prayer to Allah after the five daily prayers is the night prayer. Let me say that again. The most virtuous prayer after the daily prayers is the night prayer. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is nurun lil mu'mini yawm al-qiyamah. It will be a light for the believers on the day of judgment. Qiyam is something that we need. We are desperate for. There's a type of light that enters your life when you start doing it. And it also exemplifies gratitude. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not only would he pray at night, he would stand for a very long time until the blood rushes to his feet and swell. And Aisha, our beloved mother, radiallahu anha, she said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, Allah forgave that which came before and that which came after. Essentially, you are sinless. Why are you doing this to yourself? Why are you standing in prayer for so much? And the Prophet replied, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا, will I not be a grateful servant for everything Allah has done for me? Will I not show my gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by standing at night in prayer? So Salat to Layl, the prayer at night, is not only an act of worship. Not only should you do it for purely selfish reasons, meaning your affairs will be in order if you're constantly asking Allah at this very opportune and beautiful time, but also it is an expression of gratitude. Every morsel of food that you ate, every joy that you had, every smile that you had, every good thing that happened in your life, your job, your children, time for gratitude is at night, where you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another beauty of Qiyam, my brothers and sisters, is that when you're praying at night, there is no one that sees you. So you are free from what is known as Riya'. Qiyam al-Layl, when you are alone in your room, you make wudu and you're praying and it is just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is such a beautiful time because clearly you're only there for Allah. The element of showing off or the element of doing it for other than Allah's sake is not present there. It is a pure act of ibadah and worship. It is a time where your heart is open for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a type of pleasure and a type of joy and a type of serenity that is felt through Qiyam that makes people addicted to Qiyam. They cannot live without it. Like I mentioned earlier, some of the Salaf could not wait until they were praying. Put everyone to bed, and then they would pray. This is their time. Because some of the Salaf used to say, إِنَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا جَنَّةِ إِنَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا جَنَّةِ مَنْ لَمْ يَدْخُلْهَا لَمْ يَدْخُلْ جَنَّةُ الْآخِرَةِ أو بهذا المعنى. They used to say, there is a type of paradise, a Jannah, that is in this world, that if you don't taste it, you don't enter the Jannah of the hereafter. And that is the ladha and the pleasure of speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when you are standing in prayer and you are reading the ayat of Allah and you are reminiscing about the many good things Allah has given you and thanking Him, and that you are regretful from the sins you've done and you're asking Allah's forgiveness, and you are begging Allah, and you're asking Allah, and you are speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that type of feeling you don't get anywhere else and it cannot be replicated. And the iman boost you get from that, the iman boost you get from that is something that cannot be expressed. Hence why all of the anbiya, they would stand in prayer often. And they would stand in prayer. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, for example, the Prophet Dawood, how he used to pray the last third of the night. And how the Prophet himself would always pray the last third of the night. And you have the Prophet ﷺ, or in the Quran, Allah says, وَأَمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. That a lot of the Sahaba, including Umar al-Khattab, he would wake his family up for Salah. Not the regular Salah, not for Fajr, but what? But for Qiyam. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu felt that Qiyam was so important that he would ensure the whole night in his house there's someone that's praying. So they would literally take shifts. They would take shifts to liven the house and the home in Salah. So he would pray, and then he would have his servants pray, and then he would have his wife pray, and the whole night the house is alive with the worship of Allah. That is the kind of home that is deserving of and gets the barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks about the night, especially the night is a time of ibadah and worship. Allah says, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحْهُ وَإِدْبَارُ النُّجُومِ. Glorify Allah at night when the stars turn. So when it gets really dark, this is the time you need to be glorifying Allah, not sleeping. Allah mentions about the companions, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. That they will sleep only a little at night. They will only sleep a little at night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned a hadith, and listen to this hadith. The Prophet said, upon you is to pray at night. Do the night prayer. عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْقِيَامِ. Why, O Prophet of Allah, why should we pray at night? فَإِنَّهُ دَأْبُ الصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Because it is the etiquette and it is the way and the mannerisms of the righteous people that came before you. A sign of being righteous is that you don't dedicate your whole night to, I was going to say sleeping, but nowadays we dedicate it not to sleeping, but to all other things, scrolling and social media and spending time on our phones and all this. Your night should not be dedicated just for your own pleasure. Some portion of your night should be dedicated to Allah. And if you dedicate a portion of your night to Allah, the blessings that you gain from that, you will see it throughout your day. فَإِنَّهُ دَأْبُ الصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَقُرْبَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. And it takes you closer to Allah. This closeness that we are missing, this iman boost that we are missing, the fact that everything else is difficult on us, the fact that we are sinning so much, is as a result of us not having that night prayer in our life. قُرْبَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ gets you close to Allah. And it is مِنْهَاتٌ عَلَىٰ الْإِسْمِ وَمِنْهَاتٌ عَلَىٰ الْإِسْمِ. It stops you from sinning. All the sins, and subhanAllah, there is a vicious cycle that you are in. We sin way too much. Those sin become a burden. Due to those burdens, we miss out on this great reward. And because we miss out on that great reward, we continue sinning. And because we continue sinning, we pray less. And when we pray less, we continue sinning. And we enter into this vicious cycle. The opposite of that is that when you pray at night, you sin less. Because Allah protects you. Because there's nur in your heart. Because you were standing all night, or not all night, but most of the, some of the portion of the night in Salah, that will have an impact and carry over throughout your day. So because you're sinning less, you're more encouraged to worship, and then you enter into a cycle of positivity, where you're constantly connected to Allah, where if you do make a mistake, you rush in repentance, where every night you are reigniting your iman. So if you pray at night, it stops you from sinning. And it purifies you from your mistakes. This is what you gain from Qiyam. You gain from Qiyam Jannah, like we mentioned earlier, when Allah talks about تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَإِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah talked about there are some people there that they leave their beds, their sides leave their beds, and they pray. خوفاً وطمعاً. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of our shortcomings, because of our sins, because of our errors, because of our mistakes. There's a sense of fear in us. وطمعاً. And there is hope in us. Hoping Allah's mercy, Allah to forgive us, Allah take us to the highest place in Jannah, Allah to accept our dua. خوفاً وطمعاً. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they also give sadaqah, Allah says. And what happens to these people? Allah says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. No soul knows what has been prepared for them from in Jannah. Meaning, Allah is telling us the people that have been prepared for them a special reward in Jannah, that which has not been seen or heard of are those that leave their beds, their warm beds, and stand in prayer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those that pray at night, my brothers. Wallahi, it's something that is, if it's missing in your life, something huge is missing. And when you have it in your life, you will find that it is greater than anything else that you have. Now, it's also important that we are practical about this. We are practical about this. Because there is the point of this lecture is not necessarily for me to tell you about the virtues of Qiyam and we make it abstract. If we are honest with ourselves, can anyone say the reason we don't do Qiyam is because we're too busy? Do you guys reckon that's a fair argument? Are we too busy? No one can say that. Too tired? Are we too tired to pray one rak'ah even? No, we're not too tired. So if we're not too tired, and we're not too busy, is it because we don't need it? We do need it. I want you to think about this for a second. I want you to honestly think about this for a second. Every single night, Allah descends and says, هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ فَأُعْطِيَ هَلْ مِنْ دَاعٍ هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ. Is there anyone that wants forgiveness? Is there anyone that wants to ask? Is there anyone that has a need? Is there anyone that needs protection? Some of the narration mentions. If you have a need, you may have been diagnosed with an illness or a family that you love. You may be struggling with debt. You may be trying to deny it for a very long time. Why haven't you gotten up yet? Why haven't you gotten up yet? Recently, I spoke to someone. Although it's anecdotal, but I like to share it. I spoke to a young man. He's in university. I delivered a lecture in a university. And he came to me and he said to me, Ustad, I started Qiyam 6 months ago and I saw such a big change in my life, I literally can't stop it. Wallahi, this is not theoretical. This is not theoretical. In fact, part of the way we converse should be when someone tells you, Akhi, wallahi, I've tried everything. Have you tried Qiyam? I have tried everything. Your Lord every night asks you, what do you want? At that time, what are you doing? Ya akhi, wallahi, I'm sleeping. Every night, I'm sleeping. Have you even tried? No, I haven't tried. Have you done it? No, I haven't done it. There's something wrong with our iman, isn't it? If we're thinking that way. So even from a personal benefit, you gain from praying. What else do you gain? You gain Jannah. You gain joy. You gain happiness. And when you start doing extra acts of worship outside of the 5 daily, outside of the obligations, you know what else happens to you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Hadith al-Qudsi, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ. And my servant does not cease to come closer to me through acts of worship that are not obligatory, but he does it and he gets closer to me, hatta uhibbahu, until I love him. Until I what? Love him. If Allah loves you, what can go wrong in your life? I want you to think about that. If Allah loves you, what can go wrong in your life? Wallahi, billions and billions and billions of pounds is nothing compared to the love of Allah. This whole dunya is nothing compared to the love of Allah. And we gain the love of Allah through acts of worship that are more than just the wajibat. So Allah asks you, what do you want? And the time to give it to you, you're sleeping. You'll gain the love of Allah, but you're sleeping. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins, but you're sleeping. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your life easy for you, but you're sleeping. This doesn't make sense, does it? Wallahi, it doesn't make sense. Wallahi, it doesn't make sense. And perhaps the da'af and the weakness that we have as an ummah is as a result of our lack of prayer at night. So many problems, my brothers and sisters, will be solved if we become people that pray at night. Now, when we say pray at night, a lot of you may imagine that you have to pray a lot. There is an authentic narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qama bi ashri, whoever reads only 10 ayats." Reading 10 ayats, how long do you guys think would take that, roughly? What do you guys think? 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes? It doesn't take long, right? Whoever prays with 10 ayats, لم يكتب من الغافلين. He is not considered from the heedless. Meaning, if you don't do that, then you are considered what? From the heedless. May Allah protect us. It's that simple. So, I'm going to start from the least you can do, and then work and give examples of the most that you can do. So, first of all, when is the best time to pray? The last third of the night, meaning close to Fajr time. The closer the Fajr time that you're praying, the better. That's the best time to pray. So if you're going to put your alarm on at a certain time, it would be, see when Fajr is, an hour and a half, 45 minutes before that, you wake up, you make wudu, you stop praying. You continue praying until Fajr. That's one way of doing it, right? So, and how much is the least you can pray? Even one rak'ah is enough. Even one rak'ah is enough. Of course, you can increase on that, but if you just do your witr one rak'ah, khair. But qiyam or night prayer is prayed in twos. So let's say you pray two rak'at and then you finish with witr. That's three rak'at. That's qiyam. And that's acceptable. Another principle is because what often happens, and be careful, don't let this happen to you. What often happens is someone attends a lecture like this or a khutbah, or they listen to a talk online about the virtue of qiyam, and then the first night they're gonna say, I'm gonna pray 10, I'm gonna pray 13, I'm gonna pray this, I'm gonna pray as much as possible, I'm gonna read 3 juz, 4 juz, 5 juz. And then the next night they're tired, they might not do it or they do less, and within a week they stop doing it. That's not good. It's better than nothing, but that's not what we want. Remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, the most beloved actions to Allah are those that are done consistently, even if they're small. So consistency, even if it's small, is more beloved to Allah than something that you do a lot. In other words, if someone gives sadaqah once a week, £10 or £5 in sadaqah once a week, and then never stops that and continues doing that, is better than if they gave a million one time. Because that consistency itself is barakah. You can give the same example in salah. So whatever you're going to do, make sure it is something that you can continue doing. And if you want to increase, you can increase. But right now, see where you are and pick something that you know you can do. So remember, we said the most virtuous time to pray is the last third of the night. The closer the Fajr, the better. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that he said, Awsani Khalili. My Khalil gave me advice. Who is this Khalil? Who knows what Khalil means, by the way? Khalil comes from the word Khulla, which is the highest expression of love. You know, the highest expression of love is called khulla. So he said, the one that I love the most, who does he love the most? Is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, my khalil, my beloved, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, advised me 3 things. One of them was, do not go to bed until you pray your witr. Do not go to bed. So there is an option for you to actually do your witr and your qiyam before you go to bed. And that way you can sleep all day until when? Until Fajr. Now, is that the ideal, or is the ideal to wake up? What do you guys think? The ideal is to go to bed and wake up. Part of that waking up and leaving your bed is part of the ibadah. Like Allah says in the Quran, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. You know, when you wake up while you need to sleep, while you're enjoying sleep, you wake up. But if you are fearful or you think you may oversleep or it is difficult for you, then do not force yourself to do that and then miss out. Instead, what should you do? You should pray before you go to bed. Is that clear? So, both of them are considered qiyam. Any salah that is being prayed, qiyam or salah today, whatever you want to call it, that's being prayed after the Isha, is from after Isha until Fajr, that's your window. So, the most virtuous version is when you go to sleep and then you put your alarm on, or you don't have to if you don't need to, and then you wake up and then you pray. But if for some reason you are fearful that may not be the case, what is the advice? You pray what? After Isha, you pray and you do that so that you don't miss it. And then how much do you pray? You can start small and then you can build up. What do you read? Whatever is easy for you in the Quran. فَقَرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهُ. Whatever is easy for you in the Quran that you read. How do you read? With contemplation and khushu'. And you have to treat your salah. And this is another thing. We often speak about the timing, the quantity, how many rak'at, what should I read, when should I read. But you know what we should be asking? That's even more important. How can I better the quality of my salah? How can I better the quality of my salah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he's reading the Quran, he would cry. He would cry to the point where his beard would be wet. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would ponder over the ayat that he's reciting. When he comes upon an ayah that speaks about the adab, he would ask Allah to protect him and his ummah from the adab. When he comes an ayah that's related to Jannah, he would say, oh Allah, grant us and grant me Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's salah wasn't just, the point of it was not just the movement of the salah. The point is the impact it has on you. So the Quran that you're going to recite, let it be a Quran that impacts you. Meaning, if you know the meaning, the better. What you're saying. And also, and this is a general advice that will help you for your regular salah as much as it's going to help you for your qiyam and your night prayer, is that you understand the meaning of the adhkar and you get into the habit that when you are saying the adhkar, meaning when you're saying Allahu Akbar, you're actually thinking about Allah's greatness. Right? When you're saying Allahu Akbar, you're thinking about whose greatness? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each time, how many times do you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar? When you're saying, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, glory be to Allah the Most High. Glory be to Allah the Most High. As you're making sujood, Allah the Most High, that you truly ponder over Allah's highness and greatness, over Allah's glory and magnificence, that you're truly thinking and pondering over this, that you're truly glorifying. What does it mean to glorify? It means to truly believe that Allah is perfect and free from imperfection. That he's perfect in his mercy, perfect in his justice, perfect in his essence, perfect in his wisdom. Are you guys with me? The moment you start doing that, your salah will and then, remember, what do we say after we come from sujood? What do we say? Does anyone know? Between the two sujoods, what do we say? Who can read me the dua? Rabbi ghafirli. What does that mean? Oh Allah, what? Oh my Lord? Rabbi ghafirli. Oh my Lord? Forgive me. When we say that, and I want you to think about this. When you get up, Rabbi ghafirli. We say it. How many of you are genuinely asking Allah to forgive you? Or just saying the thing that needs to be said? Do you guys see the difference? Oh, Rabbi ghafirli, warhamni, wahdini. How many of you say this? Oh, Rabbi ghafirli, Rabbi ghafirli, Rabbi ghafirli. You guys don't say this in Salah? I'm assuming everyone here says it. How many of us, when we are saying it, know what we are saying? That's a dua. Oh Allah, forgive me and guide me and have mercy on me. You're making dua. The moment you start seeing your salah as a conversation with Allah, and you start looking at all the statements that you make and what they mean and why I'm saying them, that will transform your salah into not just a ritual, but a conversation. And that's what you want. And when you start doing that, it will have a great impact on your heart. So not only should we be thinking about when is the best time to pray, what is the best thing to read, but also how can I improve the quality of my qiyam. Finally, my brothers and sisters, it is important that we start. So, I remember one of my sheikhs, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him, protect him. He gave us a lecture one night about witr and qiyam, and he made us a promise. He said he made a request from us. May Allah forgive us. And that request, he said, can anyone that hasn't been doing qiyam before start tonight and pray qiyam? Can anyone that has not been doing qiyam before start tonight and pray qiyam and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And understand that we are desperate for Allah. Allah is summit. He does not need us, but we need Allah. And if you want Allah to help you in your worship, pray at night. If you want Allah to help you with your health, pray at night. If you want Allah to accept your du'as, ask him at night when he descends. And there is a sa'ah, an hour, a time in the night where Allah accepts the prayers. Make it regular because that's what Allah loves the most. Involve your family because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah have mercy on a man who woke up at night to pray and woke his wife up, and when she refused, put water on her face. And may Allah have mercy on a woman, a spouse, a wife, who woke up to pray at night and woke her husband up. And when he refused, put water in his face so that he can pray. And then another hadith, Prophet ﷺ said, a man and a woman that pray at night together, كُتِبَ مِنَ الذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. They are from among those that remember Allah often. May Allah make us among those. My brothers and my sisters, we need qiyam. We need to make it a part of our life. And there is enough of a reason for us to pray that our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends and asks us. It is the time to benefit from that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those that truly benefit from their ibadah and change their ways and increase in righteousness and seek Allah's forgiveness and repentance. Ameen. I'm going to inshallah conclude here. هذا وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. حياكم الله.